I'm going to give you some things I want you to have, and I want you to have these things in your heart. Notice what it says, Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers. Be ye therefore followers of who? Followers of God. That's what we are, isn't it? I mean, now that we're born again, now that you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, we're to be followers. I worry about people that make professions of faith that don't follow. And I don't like it either. Agitates me. If you've truly trusted Jesus, you should be a follower. You should want to be to his house. You should want to be studying in his word and things of that nature. You should want to be witnessing to lost people in your family. That's all part of being born again, do y'all think? I mean, there's going to be a change of conduct in people when they've been born again. So he's calling us here followers. Let me ask you a question. What kind of follower are you? What kind of follower are you? That's what I'd like to know. And I think it's important for all of us to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest blessing anybody can ever have, is to be called a follower of Jesus Christ. So he's talking about us being that in this text. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear what? Dear children. And notice what the Lord calls these children right here. I like it. He calls them what kind of children? Dear. Dearly beloved children. I'm not worth that, are you? I mean, just think about it. Yeah, he's perfect and great, and before the foundation of the world, he said, I love Jeff Arthur. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to draw him by my grace, and I'm going to make him my child. And that's exactly what he does to anyone that's been born again. All God's people say it. That's what he does. The greatest thing I have is to be a follower of God and to be considered to be called and to be considered a dear child. You know, the Lord loves you dearly. The Lord loves you dearly. When you're born again, he takes all your sin and he removes them into the depths of the sea. That's what he does. And that's what he's done for me. And now because I'm a follower, I'm also I'm one of his dear children. I hope everybody in this congregation today, I hope that you're one of God's, listen to me, that you're one of God's dear children. All God's people say it. I hope you can say that. I'm a child of the... Hey, listen to me now. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. We sing a song here. I'm a child of the King. And Lord is the one that... And the Lord is what brought me to this. I'm a follower and I'm a dear child. If you could just take verse 1 and go home right now and it'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? Just this little old verse right here. Man, when I look at that thing, it's just price. It's a priceless text. It's priceless. So, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, people should then see you doing what? Somebody tell me. You must be a follower. That's part of being saved. When you trust Christ as your Savior, then after that, you'll want to follow the Lord. You'll follow the Lord in baptism, scriptural baptism. You'll follow the Lord in being at God's house. You'll follow the Lord in all those things. But you'll be a follower all your days, and you'll follow because you love who? You love Jesus. All right, let's move down to verse 2. He says to walk in love. Everybody see it? To walk in love. You know God's people is to love one another, right? But beloved, who are we to love the most? I'm asking. We're to love Him above all things. There's nothing should take head over our God. He is in our life the main thing. He ain't the last thing. He's the main thing. And when you get that messed up, you ain't right. You ain't right if you got that all messed up. You need to be a follower if you're born again. You need to be a dear child if you're born again. And if you're born again, you should walk in love. That's an awesome thing. And He expects you. Who wrote the book anyhow? Holy Spirit did. The Holy Spirit wrote it. And He expects you to follow in these instructions that He's given us in this grand text. Okay? All right, let's move on down now. Let's read verse 2 again. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. What was that greatest evidence of God's love again? I didn't hear you. What's the greatest evidence of God's love? He gave us His Son. You know Jesus was perfect? You know how many... He was the perfect man. And you know what He did? And I was a sinner man. I was a sinner man. I had nothing to offer to the Lord. But like I said a little while ago, in the councils of eternity past, I just think the Lord looked down and said, you know what? I'm going to save Jeff Arthur. And you know what else? You know what else? I think He did. I think He said, "You know, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to call him. He's going to send the Son to pay my debt, and He's going to give me everlasting life." That's what He did in salvation. All God's people said, "That's a big deal, right there." You never done that. God done that. Put it where it needs to be. If it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't have any kind of thing like this at all. This is unbelievable. Man, to have everlasting, eternal life, that's living forever. Beloved, do you realize that when a person dies in their sin, do you not realize that they don't have any hope? Kills me. I don't know how many times I've done funerals of people, and they said, "Jeff, now they knew you, right?" And I said, "Yeah, I knew him, or I knew her. You know, I know him." But then they come up and they said, "Jeff, where are they saved?" Never did say anything. Never did walk that way. Never had any church relations. Never was baptized. Now, I'm not saying these things save you. What I'm saying is they don't do the things that Christian people usually does. All God's people say it. If you don't see those things, I just think there's something wrong with it. If you're here today and you've made a profession of faith, but it hadn't changed you, if it hadn't changed in you, I'm telling you, it behooves you to check it out and see whether it's truly so. One of the things I was witness to an old boy one time, he's tore all to pieces. I could see the conviction in his heart, not physically, but I mean, I could see it. He was tore all to pieces. in conviction. I was glad to see it. And, buddy, it changed his whole world around. He seen the need of a Savior, and he said, "Oh, Lord, save me from this sin, my sins." And God gave him eternal life. He made him alive spiritually. And he started serving Jesus, all God's people said. That's what's supposed to happen, and you should be able... You should be able to see that in people that make professions and follow. Let me move on. I'm just doing sentences right now. Verse 2, and walk in love. God's people should be known by their love. Y'all agree? God's people should be known by their what? They should be known by their. Have you ever met somebody out on the street somewhere? You might be talking to somebody, and you get talking to them, and then after a while, after you get to talking, they'll go, "Are you a Christian?" I say, "Yeah, I am." And you can almost tell it. You can tell it the way they talk, and you can tell it what they talk like to talk about. And they're usually kind, and they will help people. And these are Christian people, see. God's people, I mean, if you're born again, don't you think the world should see in you that you are a Christian? There should always be evidence that you're born again. But if you put everything in the world ahead of the Lord, I think there's something wrong with that. And while I'm on the subject, I don't like it either. I think the top spot... I think the top spot is Jesus. I think he's the main thing. I think we follow him and we serve him all of our days. We're not doing that to get saved. We're doing that because we love Jesus. All God's people say it. That's why we do it. All right, let's move on. All right, let's move down to verse 3. Now, in verse 3 of Ephesians 5, he's dealing with sins. And after this nice little pretty thing I give you in verses 1 and 2, now when you go up here in verse 3, he addresses sin. He addresses sin. And that's what we're going to look at down to verse 8, and then I'm going to quit. Fornication, you see, but... He talked about the sweet-selling flavor and the followers of their children and loving us as he given us his offering and things of that. And we've been looking at all these wonderful things, and now he brings right in chapter 5, 3 through 8. And you know what he does in 3 through 8? He talks about immorality. That's what he does. Well, that's real fun to deal with, isn't it? Immorality. You see it everywhere. Let's talk about a little bit of the things that's in this. The fornication. Fornication is is just another word for immorality. Really, it's just another word for immorality. Fornication. Fornication. There's a lot of people that... they live in open sin. They refuse to marry. They refuse to. These things are sins, beloved. God judged people because of sins. And if you've been born again, he wants you to live sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. We don't do that to get saved. Listen to me. I'm already saved. We aren't doing that to get saved. We're doing that because we are saved. And because we are representatives of our King. That should change you. What does the scripture says again? I mentioned a little while ago. Old things. Hey, listen to me. Old things pass away. All things becomes what? Are you new? If you're not new, Something wrong with it. New. You should be new. You should have that spiritual taste for spiritual things. You know what that'll do? Let me tell you what that'll do for you. You know what that really will do? It'll make you happy. If you're born again and you're not where you should be, you'll never be happy in sin. I'm serious. If you're truly born again and you live in sin, you'll never be happy that way. It'll suck all the spiritual strength out of you. You know better. You know better. But you don't follow it. Oh, it's a horrible thing. God won't allow it either. My dad used to use the term whooping. Y'all ever use that word, whooping? If you're born again, the Lord will chasten you. He will correct you. And he'll take you to the woodshed. And he'll do it. Do you know why he does it? Because he loves you. It's a love that will not let you go. All God's people say it. Yes, he will. Okay. All right. Now these sins, I'm going to mention them, but fornication is immorality of all types. Immorality. A lot of immorality in America. All uncleanliness. You see, this is all sexual immorality in verse 3 through verse 8, which is when I'm going to quit. Should you teach your children about fornication? Should you teach your children about uncleanliness? Should you teach them about what's covetousness? It's greedy of gain. Greedy of gain. Fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be what? He said, don't do it once. You know why he says that? Because if you do it once, it's easier to do it again. And then it'll come later? It'll become a what? It'll become an addiction. I've dealt with a lot of different people over different things. I was dealing with a boy one time. He's drinking. He's drinking. I got him in church a bit, but he was drinking. He never did quit drinking. Like I didn't know it or smelled it. I guess they think you turn stupid when they do that. You know what I mean? I just couldn't. You know, you could see what they were doing. They're just trying to hide it. And I said, don't you realize God sees it? I mean, I'm just a man. But God knows exactly what you're doing. And you claim to be born again and you claim to be saved, and yet you're still living that lifestyle like God don't know it? That aggravates me to death. And stuff like that fears me. I hate to say what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. If I was a child of God and I did things like that, I'd be afraid God would take me out. Absolutely. Hear me. I'd be afraid he'd take me out. He will. Don't you think he won't? He will. You remember how many times have I said in this church, I'm afeard of him. And that's one of those times when I say, man, I'd be afraid to do that. I'd be afraid to say that. I'd be afraid to do. I say that all the time. I'd be afraid. Why? I'm afraid of what God might do. All God's people do. We got to have a big. We got to have a. When we talk about sin, man, we're not going to be perfect in this life. I'd like to be, and you would like to be, I'm sure. But we still, tied up to this old body. But there will always be a change in someone that's been born again. Do y'all agree? Well, the scripture says old things pass away, like we'd already talked about. But if a person doesn't change and they don't walk with the Lord, I just don't know what you do with anything like that. Dr. Old Boy One, I get agitated sometimes. But I talked to an old boy. I said, what in the world's wrong with you? I don't know why I did it. Just blowed a gasket. What in the world's wrong with you? Don't you act like you got some sense? I don't know why I did it. I just went ape. I just got sick of it. Beloved, when you're born again, there should be a change of conduct in your life. I'm not saying you're saved by your works. You're saved by grace. But there's going to be a change in conduct in people if you're born again. And we should take, and people should know that you're born again. All God's people say it. All right, let me finish this. All right. Here's these sins. 3-7. I'm going to read them. But fornication, all uncleanliness. Covetousness. What's covetousness? Somebody tell me. It's greedy of gain. It's greedy of gain. That's what covetousness is. Remember, you remember a covetous old sinner? Ever heard that before? Covetousness. Somebody just greedy for gain, and that's what they live for. You know what happens when they die? They leave it behind for somebody else to fight over. That's what they do. But you don't. It's really true. You don't take it with you. It'll stay right here. It'll stay right here. All right. Neither filthiness. Boy, you know there's a lot of filthiness in this old world. Y'all agree? Some of it goes right off your television screen, right? A lot of filthiness in. I'm serious. You got it right there in your house. Man, you got to watch. You got to be careful what you look at. Be careful what you look at. If you watch sin, it'll take over your mind. Then you'll get up earlier and watch it again and watch it again and watch it again and do it till it makes you an addiction. I've dealt with people that had addictions on that stuff. Sometimes they go back. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives them a breakthrough. Neither filthiness nor filthy talking nor jesting. That's just like using dirty jokes, jesting. A lot of people jest, and they think it's funny. I don't think it's funny. Which are not convenient, but rather a giving of thanks. All right, stay with me now. I'm going for the border here. For this ye know, that no whoremonger. What's a whoremonger? What is a whoremonger? What is it? It's another thing of immorality. It's immorality. It's immortality. No whoremonger nor unclean person. See, this is talking about all this whole verse here is talking about immorality. And he lays it out just easy for you to understand. Verse 5, for ye know that no whoremonger. This is a man that does the same thing, okay? A whoremonger. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person, a covetous man, who is an idolater. Now listen to this now. An inheritance, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean, nor covetous, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of who? They have no what? They have no what? Let me say it one more time. They have no what? They don't have no inheritance in the kingdom. Who told you that? God's word did. He wants you to be clean, beloved. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to do that. Let me finish it off. Be ye therefore, verse 7, be not therefore partakers. Be not partakers with them. If you get around with, listen, if you get around with the wrong crowd, we'll pull you into sin. It will. Years and years and years back, when I was in sin bad, and my mom and dad brought me to church, I was a good little boy for a long time. I did. I learned a lot, you know, about the scriptures and grew. And then I got into middle school and high school, and I just went nuts. I just went nuts. Nobody could do anything with me. Nobody could do anything with me. I was one of them children that they were going to throw me out of school for the whole year. I didn't even know you could do that. That's what they was going to do. They was tired of me, buddy. Me. Yeah, that's what they did. They threw me out for the whole year. Yeah, and I got in trouble with the law. It just was one mess right after the other. You know what changed me? God. God changed me. I knew everything my mom taught me. I knew what Dick Liptrap taught me in Sunday school. I learned all of that. I learned from Hollis Walters. I learned from different people in this congregation, and I knew what was right. You know what happened? I was done with it. Here, listen to me. I was done with it. I got away from the crowd. I just had a few. Neil Casto comes here. I've told you this already, but Neil Casto comes here on Sunday nights. He was my buddy. Why'd I hang out with him? He didn't drink, smoke, or fight, and all that. He didn't do none of this. I had a lot of friends before, but they wasn't true friends. But Neil was my buddy. It's a great thing. And you know what that did? It changed you. You got to get away from the people that do. Do y'all agree? Get away from the people that do. If you get around the people that do, they'll pull you in at every time. And let me tell you something. You're not, and everybody here, well, it never happened to me. You're getting, it'd be a horrible thing. But it can happen to you too. Watch what you get around. All God's people say. When you go home this evening, because I'm going to quit. But verse 3 down to verse 8. I want you to read that. Would y'all read that every day this week? Lee will give you $10 if you do. Yeah. If you would read that every day, start at verse 3, but fornication, bring it down to verse 8, where it says, walk as a child of light. If you get that in your heart, that'll make you closer to Jesus. All God's people say it.